Good morning, church. Buenos días. Well, we are in the last sermon for this sermon series on community. And my hope is that you are blessed by it, that you are growing in how to be, and we are growing in how to be a biblical community or a community that is gospel-centered. And we have been establishing the principle that for this, we need to be a community that aims for transformation, authenticity, and change. So let's today, we're going to experience a little bit how Jesus was very intentional in his relationships and how he organized his life around it, how he organized his life, different levels of relationships, and how can we go and do the same. So let's start with this passage in John 23, 25. It says, because of the miraculous signs Jesus did in Jerusalem at the Passover celebration, many began to trust him, but Jesus didn't trust them because he knew all about people. No one needed to tell him about human nature, for he knew what was in each person's heart, which means that Jesus knows what is in your heart right now. But it's very powerful to see that how people begin to trust Jesus because of his power and the miracles that he was doing, which is another sign that Jesus is God, is God in the flesh, and how the power of God and the manifestation of his presence really testify that God is powerful, but he's also walking among us, Emmanuel, God among us. But the principle of this passage is that Jesus knew what people are thinking. He knows our hearts, which only God, said the scripture from Genesis to Revelation, that only God can know your thoughts and my thoughts. That's one of the biggest differences that we have with God and any other person or deity that claims to be God. Only God can know what you think. And if you read the Bible, even when the Bible talks about the kingdom of darkness and Satan and the enemy, one of the distinctive things is he cannot know what you're thinking. So as long as you don't talk, he doesn't know. He organizes his plans when you talk. So not for God. Every time you think, God knows what you're thinking. Every time you have emotions, God knows what you're feeling. So God knows everything about us. And Jesus didn't trust people. So he knew the power of knowing what people are thinking in the human nature. So let's explore this part of the sermon series on how Jesus was walking on the earth, developing these relationships. So the first principle is this difference between miracles and faith, and how this is a call to go deeper in our relationships, that we need to go beyond the superficial, because the miracles are powerful, the deliverance is powerful, but God will not establish an intimate relationship with people based on power. God established his relationship with people based on his presence, intimacy. And that's why people go to crusades and campaigns, and they live, and they continue their life, and they never experience transformation, because no one will be transformed by the power of a miracle. We can only be transformed by a relationship with God, a relationship with Jesus. And Jesus is teaching us to encourage each one of us to seek this genuine connection with Jesus beyond the superficial. But now, as we begin to follow Jesus on this process, the first question is, how did Jesus select his church community? So Jesus is still the head of the church, and even now, he's still leading people to his church. And how he does it, the Bible says that he intercedes for us constantly before the Father. So he did that when he was walking on earth. It says that Jesus went up on a mountain to pray, and he prayed to God for how long? All night. So it's the power of prayer. Now we are hearing that we have these two positions open, the worship minister and then the children minister, and how we are led by the Spirit to pray that God send the right people. And you already know, how many of you have been blessed by the ministry of Jeff, who is the youth minister and the student minister, right? So we have been praying and praying last year and in all this position, and then Rachel and others, that we have been praying that God send the right people. So now we have to keep doing this. But the question that we all have to answer individually for your own life, but also for the life of the church, is this. Do we have a necessity or a burden that demands praying all night? That's the question. When there is a burden, there is a necessity. What is our response? Jesus, being God in the flesh, he depended on prayer constantly. The question is, are we going to do the same individually, and are we going to do it as a church? So here it is. In Luke 6:13, not only he prayed, but after he prayed, he knew now who will be the next leadership that he will be choosing, the apostles. And then he kept doing that, and then that it grew into 70, 70 into 120, 20 into 500 by the book of Corinthians. It's where 500 people experience the resurrection and everything. So God knows that the only way to establish a solid spiritual community is through prayer. Next, you're going to see that Jesus was very intentional about his relationship with people and how he categorized, for the lack of a better word, the group of people he was relating with, so that he knows what to offer to every group depending on their commitment and depending on where they were. So the first step here is Jesus already mentioned, we already mentioned in John 2, that he understood the heart of the people, which is a powerful reminder of the need of authenticity to connect with other people and share our life and being ready to share our ups and downs, where we are, and be empathetic with one another and share deeply where we are. But without authenticity, there is no meaningful relationships. And we have to be able to do that, to share our hearts and being bold. And that's why the first sermon was about embracing our brokenness. We are broken. Second, now the boldness to be, just to share, being vulnerable before other people. And now we're talking about how to establish these groups and creating the environment and different levels of relationships so that we can be effective. But without authenticity, we cannot build a strong community. Why? Because if I hide my sin, then I cannot be authentic. People will be having superficial relationships because I don't want people to know what is actually going on in my life. And what I hope in prayer is that you are constantly questioning your heart and seeking God and learning about him. Because at the end of the day, if you are not growing in your love for God and others, if you are not desiring to be transformed, to be more like Christ, to spend time in his presence, to worship him, and then on the other hand, you are living in a secret, deadly sin, and you are fine with it, well, my hope is that you pray, that you realize that if you don't have desire, if you are living in a deadly, secret sin, that you question your salvation, because no one can do that and still claim to be a follower of Christ. It's impossible. So my hope is that even if you get angry when you hear a sermon like that, my hope is that your anger brings reflection later. Or if you hear a sermon like this and you are challenged, that challenge brings reflection later. But here is the point. It's my job as your pastor to challenge you. And my hope is that when you see Jesus face to face one day, you will be able to say, I love you. And I was challenged to grow and becoming more like you. That's what this is all about. Being authentic and sharing your burdens, sharing where you are, and being uncomfortable with sin. Because that's the only thing that will actually shift our minds and our souls to be more like Jesus and one day be with him for an eternity. And it's impossible without trust. And that's why we have to build this community and continue building the community, spending time together, sharing our struggles, our victories, our ups and downs, our testimonies. That creates the foundation to have community. And if we do that, we're going to be effective. And here is the way that Jesus asked us to do this. Number one, we have to position ourselves for connection. So if you don't want to connect with people, guess what? You won't. If I want to iron my clothes, but I don't connect the iron to the power, guess what? You can do this all night, all day. Nothing is happening. Okay? We have to be connected to one another. We want to be connected with God, with His power. So we have to position ourselves. The question is, how can I position myself to be in community and to grow with Christ? Easy. Can we read it together? That's it. Easy. And you're going to understand why. The reality is that you already have that in different ways, but sometimes it happens by intuition, not intentional. We have to be intentional and reach out to people and spending time with people, and that people will become our crew. But I want you to see the difference now, the difference between crew and crowds and community, because that's the way Jesus did it. He said, okay, I'm going to give you a blueprint on how to do this, how to move from a crowd to a community to a crew. Because if we stay with a crowd mindset and we never move to community and crew, we are going to be having this challenge among us and within us that we will never become a true biblical, gospel-centered, kingdom-centered community. So let's understand these three groups and how Jesus was ministered to them. So what these groups get from Jesus. All these groups get different things from Jesus based on their commitment and based on where they were and their mindset. So number one, you have the crowd mindset. It's 150 people or more. Here at St. John, that's what we have. You have like 200 or 250 people in, you know, different times during the week or different times within the year. And you have that. And here is the crowd mindset. John 6, 26, 27. He says, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. You want to be with me because what? I fed you. Not because you understood the miraculous signs, but don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy doing what? Seeking eternal life. So the mindset of the crowd is feed me, feed me, feed me, feed me. It's a mindset where you are not expecting anything. You don't want to give anything. You just want to take from God. And it's this mindset of God as a fireman. I have a problem. I have a fire. God, help me. And God firemen show up, extinguish the fire. And then you forget about God again until another fire breaks out. And that's the mentality that Jesus is challenging us to say, go beyond your natural needs. It's okay to pray for natural needs. It's okay to seek God for natural needs. I don't have a job. I have a problem with my son. I have a problem with my daughter. I have a problem with my wife. I have a situation, a challenge at work. Help me, God. Help me, God. And then when the problem is solved, there you go. God will not hear from you again until Christmas. It's time to remember and decorate the house. And then you think about God again. That's not the right mindset. And God and Jesus is challenging us and say, seek the eternal life. Challenging us to move from a crowd mindset to where? To community. A community is a group of 12 to 50. In John 12:1-3, you see the experience where Jesus is having this celebration with Lazarus. First, he resurrected the guy from the dead. He was dead. Now he's alive and eating. They're spending time together. They are connecting to one another. This lady comes in and offers herself and break this perfume and give to Jesus. And the house was filled with his fragrance. And that's what this community is getting from Jesus. Time and presence. The crowd will never get that. Every time that Jesus wanted to explain something deeper, he went to his community, not to the crowd, to explain things. So it's important that when we understand community, then we start spending time together and in his presence and praying together and eating together. And if we don't do that as a community, guess what? We're going to remain as a crowd never as a community. And then Jesus keeps challenging us and say, go deeper. I want you to become what? A crew. What is a crew? A group of 3 to 12 people. And that group, you're going to see in these three stories in the Gospels. You have Luke 8, Luke 9, Mark 14, when Jesus heals the daughter of Jairus, and then you have the transfiguration, and you have this praying, Jesus praying in the garden. All these experiences, Jesus has 12 disciples, but he said, hey, you three, John, Peter, come with me and experience these three things apart from the group. And even in the church, sometimes people get jealous or they get mad because they said, the pastor has favorites. Guess what? Jesus also had favorites. He had favorites. For some reason, he chose these three people. Let's go to the gospel story on Gethsemane. He said he took who? Peter, James, and John with him. And he did that every time. I invite you to go and read all this stories where Jesus took Peter, James, and John apart. And he says first, sit here while I go and pray. And then he became deeply troubled and distressed. And he told them. Why he told them? Stay here and keep watch with me. Jesus didn't say this to the crowd. He said that to his crew. And that's, you know, that's something to, that's authenticity right there. That's the way my soul is this morning, with all the things that is happening and continue to happen, and you think that it's done and here we go again. I can say to you, my soul is crushed with all this madness constantly. It's one step forward, three steps back, three steps forward, one step back, in circles. My hope is that you do what they did. Stay here and keep watching. It's a time of prayer. We need to start praying like never before. And my hope is that the Holy Spirit leads the church and keeps wherever it is. I'm not here to tell you what to do or where to go or nothing like that. This is your church. This is your community. Only you can decide that. No one else. And my hope is that we finally get to some resolution where we can actually focus on the main thing, which is making disciples, praying, and spending time with one another, eating with one another again, hugging each other again, and celebrating the beautiful legacy of this church. But Jesus knew this. First, he says to them, sit here while I go and pray. Then he come back and say, stay here with me. It's this realization that you need people around you to walk with you. And sometimes you feel that you don't need them, and then you are crushed, and then you realize that you need them. So you bring them back and say, no, don't stay there. Come here, stay here with me. And that's my challenge for the church. Stay here and pray, and watch until everything is revealed to us in intimacy with God. What is the next step for the church? But Pastor, how to find your crew? Easy. This is what the Bible says in the book of Acts. We have examples all over the place. It says that they worship together where? At the temple and where else? Homes. I want to invite you, and then they come together around communion, around the supper. I want to really invite you to be led by the Spirit and call each other. Not only come here on Sundays. This is a season where we need to spend time together. Just pray first, God, who shall I invite to have dinner with? And call each other in your own homes. Doesn't have to be directed by the pastor or called by the staff. You should do it. How many of you have the Holy Spirit? If you have the Holy Spirit, raise your hands. Okay, well, add the Holy Spirit in you to who do you need to connect with. And do that by yourself and spend time together at home and talk about what is going on. Just pray about it. Talk about it. Share your ups and downs, your frustration, your fears, whatever it is. And then pray about it. And then pray about it. And then you see that God will speak to the church what is needed in this season. That's what the book of Acts is all about. That's what the church was doing. And then they said they come together and have what? Supper. Because the table is one table. table. Doesn't matter what tradition you are from, Presbyterian, Baptist, non-denominational, whatever it is, there is one table. We are all coming together as one at the table. There is power in the table. There is grace in the table. And when we come together, God will join us in the spirit, in his body, in his blood. And when the persecution comes, I have news for you. We are all going to be persecuted. We all will be. And it's important that we come together and pray for one another and share together. So as you come to the table today, I want to really encourage you to think about the church unity.